on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, the Bears defense came through in the last 2 minutes to stop Pittsburgh's last attempt to come back and tie the game. And the Bears beat the Steelers at Soldier Field 31-28. Hamp and OB's sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I'm Dave Ennett, sitting in today for Andy Mazur alongside the guys who are ecstatic over the Bears' fourth straight win. Is that too strong a word, Hamp?
Well, you know, in a bigger picture way, you go, okay, fourth straight win, but won 8 out of the last 9.
Yeah.
And let's just go back real quick. You know, the season started off in such poor fashion. We were 0-2. Did anybody expect to see this team that was 0-2 find its, you know, mojo and find a way to win 8 out of 9? And I, you know, in the corner of my eye, I'm watching the Kansas City Chiefs. Last year, you know, they were in the Super Bowl. This year, they can't find a way to win a close game. They're 0-5 in close games. Now they're going into overtime. We're just the opposite. Every close game, we find a way to win. I got to tell you, there was a bunch of things we'll talk about today. But the one thing, the kind of overarching thought about today was the Bears were able to make some big plays that counted, and they stood up and held on for a 3-point win.
By the way, there are two games going to overtime. Kansas City and Indy are going to overtime, and the Giants and Lions are also headed to overtime. I know many of you were listening to the Chiefs and Colts here on WGN. We'll keep you posted on that one. Bears win today also gives them 4 straight victories at Soldier Field. So they're playing well again. I mean, you can say what you want about the teams they've beaten, but they beat a team with a winning record today in the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, they did, and that was the first team with a winning record. So kudos to the Bear coaches. Kudos to the Bear players, and mostly the Bear fans. they're the best on the planet. And Danny, you know, this was a game where Aaron Rodgers was like a last, basically they thought he was going to play. He wasn't going to play. You know, he broke his wrist and he's going to play. He's not going to play. And he finally, they didn't suit him up. And the backup came in. And I'll tell you what, they gave us a pretty damn good game. But at the end of the game, we won. Which have now we have what? We are now 8-3.
Mm-hmm. 8-3.
8-3. 8 victories. And I know, you know, what the schedule is. You play who you have to play. And we've had the luck of the schedule this year. Truly the luck of the schedule. But if it's the last minute win, if it's a runaway game, it doesn't matter. It's a victory. So again, kudos to the coaches. Kudos to the players, and most of all, the money-paying fans who love the Chicago Bears. So it was all the way around a beautiful sunny day. It was a great victory. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Yeah, a thrilling afternoon of football. Now,
there's a lot of up and downs in the game, though, Dan.
Oh, there really was. And, you know, we were able to get some big turnovers. Montez Sweat had more of effect in this game than he has since he got here. And a lot of it has to do with...
Could it have something to do with, Dan, that he's out on the field playing and not sitting on the bench half a game, if not more?
And it also has something to do with the fact that the two big plays that he hit the quarterback for a sack and forced a fumble, the Pittsburgh Steelers, in their infinite stupidity, had a tight end blocking him. So anytime, and again, it kind of goes a little step further. Today, and I mentioned this in the pregame, the Baltimore Ravens had the option of having Lamar Jackson play against us, and they said, no, we're going to save him for next week, make sure he's okay. But we think we can match up and beat you with our backup, Tyler Huntley. And they did. And I really believe that in his heart of hearts, Mike Tomlin thought he would be able to get his team in a position to win this game in a very close fashion, which was what we saw in the fourth quarter. But they were really doing a bunch of stupid things. A lot of really Arthur Smith made his bona fides as being a brilliant play caller. They had some bad play calls, and I don't know what they were trying to accomplish in offense, but they were in it right to the very end when Brisker on a blitz was able to elevate and bat a ball down. Who knows what would have happened if he missed it?
Well, I'll tell you too, Dan, Caleb Williams, you know, sometimes he does some really nice things, but I'm going to tell you what, one thing that is very bothersome, not only to me, and I'm pretty sure it is to you, and I'm pretty sure it's to some of the fans, his accuracy in passing, Dan.
Ooh.
I'm telling you, my God, we're playing at Philadelphia. We're playing the Eagles next week. And I'll tell you what, I mean, this is a team that we should have truly, folks, we should have dominated from the opening to the last second of the game. We should have dominated. And it was basically a struggle, but thank God we won. But when you look at it from quarter to quarter, his passes, his accuracy, you know, that's got to be very bothersome to the head coach, to the quarterback coach, to the offensive coordinator, and to his receivers. I mean, they're out there running routes. They're wide open. And he, folks, you're watching a game, whether you're there or if you watch on television, I'm going to tell you something. He has an accuracy problem. And if you're a quarterback in the NFL, the one thing you better not have is an accuracy problem. So I think, I don't know what can be done about it, Dan, but we won the football game, but we're going to see what's going to happen here in the next few games.
Let me just give you an update here, and we're going to get to your calls, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. The Detroit Lions scored on the first play of overtime. Does that sound familiar to you, Dan?
It does.
It wasn't Davey Williams.
Well, and it wasn't Thanksgiving Day, but
no,
it's
it wasn't. Jahmyr Gibbs, a 69-yard touchdown run on the first play from scrimmage in overtime for Detroit to put them ahead of the Giants at the moment, 34-27. Bears win 31-28. And so Philadelphia and Dallas are getting underway. Dare I say it, if the Eagles were to lose to the Cowboys this afternoon, they and the Bears would both be 8-3 going to that game on Friday afternoon in Philadelphia?
David, I would not want to see the Eagles lose, because if they lose and we go into Philadelphia next week, we're going to be playing against a bunch of fiery maniacs, I can tell you that. So I hope they win. And
they would be in a foul mood the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't want them in a bad mood.
Foul fouls. You know, in big picture way, back to, you know, my contention that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, Aaron Rodgers didn't play. And that's okay. That's fine. Mason Rudolph wasn't great. But think about this, folks. Here we have our starting quarterback. And, yes, we had some issues on defense with some injuries. But, you know, other than, you know, the left tackle, Ozzie Trapillo did not really have a lot of issues. He wasn't bad. All that being said, we struggled at times on offense just to kind of, you know, have ball possession, control, all those different things.
Hey, big man, why do we struggle?
Well, and it's going back to where you just brought up the quarterback's accuracy.
Boy, oh boy.
You know, and think about this, folks. You three downs to get a first, because everybody, okay, on fourth and short, everybody's going now. I got it. But, you know, an inaccurate pass changes the whole equation. And there wasn't two or four. There was about eight or nine today that I counted and marked down that some of the receivers made some good catches on. But what is interesting, OB, and it's almost like a focus issue. And I don't know, out in the middle of the field, it's almost like, you know, there's too much of a sandlot mentality with Caleb, and he never really gathers himself. But when we were in the red zone, the three touchdown passes, those were Tom Brady-esque. I mean, perfect, on time, perfect delivery, and strikes with, I mean, a lot of juice. And it's almost like He focuses and stays true to his techniques and fundamentals. But when he's out on the field, it's almost like he's too, you know, herky-jerky sandlot, and he's not making accurate throws. And, again, it's going to catch up to us sooner or later. But, again, kudos to the Bears finding a way to hang on. And, again, think about this. We had a 10-point lead with 10 minutes to go in the game, and this – Pittsburgh team with the backup, they were driving with a chance to tie the game up into the very last seconds of the game. So we're cutting the margin way too close on a weekly basis. Got to find ways to put people away.
Danny, you're talking. You couldn't have said a more true thing. On a weekly basis, it's every week. It's when it comes down to the fourth quarter. It comes down, whether it's running the football, passing, or whatever. Whether we're up by a few points or we're down, it comes down. Instead of taking advantage from the opening get-go of a game and being very aggressive and going after people, again, on both sides of the ball, folks, that's the only way you're gonna win in this league. You've got to be aggressive. And you're going to see a team that we're going to be coming to play this coming Sunday at Philadelphia. They're aggressive offensively, and they're aggressive defensively, and they start from the get-go. Watch. You'll see what I'm talking about. That's the one thing, Dan, that I cannot understand about this coaching staff. We are not aggressive. To this day, to this moment that I'm talking to you right now, we're still not aggressive. We get a ton of breaks. We have the luck is on our side. We have a schedule that's beyond belief. The kind of teams that we're playing, I mean, it's a great setup for the year, but we're still not aggressive. We did. How many times did we go down the field today, David?
I think twice.
Well, two. Well, with the first drive was after the interception by Wright.
Well, my point is, we don't attack downfield. Yeah. We just don't. And there's certain things, you know, if you're running games going, what's a great thing to go to? Play action or play action bootleg and all that. How many times did we see that today?
Well,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, and but again, when Caleb was sacked in the end zone for the strip and the touchdown by the Steelers, that was a huge momentum swing. And even the you know, the announcers talked about, hey, you know, the great fans, they were almost, you know, hushed because they're like, oh no, has the magic wore off? Is the bubble burst? Because we've been lucky and we've avoided these kind of catastrophe plays so many times this year. Well, to the Bears' credit, they were able to refocus. And like I said, we had a 10-point lead going into the latter half of the fourth quarter.
312-981-7200, the number. We'll get to your calls in the next half hour. So I think there might have been a little clue there as to Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game. Hampton OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Dan's defensive player of the game, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Bears. How about it?
Hey, finally, 11th game of the year, the $100 million defensive end actually makes a couple of plays, OB, and we give him the defensive player of the game. He had some help, some other guys filling in, those linebackers, Hippolyte and Jackson. Hey, nobody expected them to be great, but they were good enough today. And a couple of plays by Montez, and it was enough to beat the Steelers.
Well, Danny, I just got to tell you, and Dave, just looking at the pass receiving, you know, I think, you know, I've said it many times, what's going to open it up our passing game is getting our tight ends involved. And I'm a little disturbed here to see that Loveland was only targeted 5 times. And Komet was targeted 1 time, and Smith or Smythe, whatever you want to, however which way it goes, he was only targeted 1 time. So our tight ends were only targeted 7 times, and Loveland, and they made some great catches. Some of those balls were a little difficult to catch, but Danny, I think for us to really get this ball moving, really get our offense going, every set and series of downs. And from quarter to quarter, We're going to have to get our tight ends involved. You just can't pick and choose. We'll throw to them once in a quarter here. We'll do this. We'll do that. They should be the focal point of our offense. Every set of downs and getting the ball down into a scoring zone. I don't understand it. Targeted 7 times today.
Well, and again, we've talked about it, and unfortunately, it's, you know, the old saying about, you know, you can't read the writing on the wall. The writing on the wall is, guess what? You got a quarterback that is struggling with accuracy.
Big time.
The tight ends right there in the middle of the field is the easiest throw and catch there is in the game of football.
Correct.
And for this offense to not want to feature it or even, you know, aggressively pursue it, it makes you start scratching your head and thinking, what are they thinking? Why not? And all that being said, I personally, you know, Dave, we haven't had you with us, but we think highly of Cole Kmet, and he's not a super player, but he's not, you know, he's middle of the road to better than most tight ends.
You can win with him, Dan.
Yes, but Colston Loveland has shown he's special. He's like the top 2 or 3 tight ends in the game with his ability. And we've had to detail it on a number of occasions how he makes amazing catches, turning completely around to catch the errant passes that he's, you know, having targeted at him.
I tell you what, you use our tight ends, folks. We have a problem converting on third down. Okay, we do. It doesn't matter quarter to quarter, game to game. We do. We have a problem converting. And sometimes when we really need it, we just don't convert. Not until you start using your tight ends. I cannot scream about this. That's what will open up your passing game. That's what will open it up if you utilize them. And we have 2 guys that are 2 monsters that can get the job done. They check off every point of being a good tight end in this league, and we have 2 of them right on this team. And today we target 1 5 times and the other 1 1 time. We can do a lot better than that, folks, in our passing game. And what will help us, we will convert more on third down, eat the clock up, and move the ball down the field and score more points and keep the ball away from our opponents. If you utilize our tight ends.
And, you know, most of the year we've been with our running game, which we were out rushed today by the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen very often. I think it only happened in the other game in Detroit when we were basically blown out. But we normally win the rushing, you know, stat and the time of possession. But you got to give the Steelers a lot of credit, OB. They had the ball almost 5 or 6 minutes more than we did. They had another 7 or 8, 9 plays more. But, you know, despite, again, it goes back to, I think their master plan.
They have a backup quarterback playing. Their number 1 quarterback was out, didn't play.
Exactly. And for them to do that with the backup, it makes you go, wow, you know, maybe we got pretty lucky getting out of here alive. But the one stat, folks, that really jumps out at me is today, the Steelers were 3 of 3 scoring touchdowns in the red zone. That doesn't happen every day. Well, guess what? It was the same thing for the Bears. We were 3 of 3 once we got down into the red zone. So 6 of 6 on the day for the, you know, both sides. I don't know if I've seen that in a long time.
We want to get to your calls, 312-981-7200. We've got some folks on hold. We will get to you in just a moment. Happen OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. More with the guys coming up, 720 WGN.
Hang in there, callers.
And the Bears win 31-28 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hampton OB sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We're with you up until 5, Blackhawks hockey at 5:30. If you're looking for Northwestern basketball, the Wildcats and South Carolina getting going right now on WGNRadio.com and the Varsity Network app. Let's go to the phones, 312-981-7200. Jimmy, you're first up with Hamp and OB.
Hello, Hamp. Hello, OB.
Who?
This is Jimmy. Yes, from Lamont. All I want to say is for the last 4 or 5 games, they played against second, third, and fourth string quarterbacks. I would like them to see play against somebody that's first string. That's my only comment.
Well, we're going to find out come Friday if Jalen Hurts makes it through this game today down in Dallas. We're obviously going to see a Super Bowl champion quarterback come 2 o'clock Friday. And, again, when OB played, I know you didn't want to play against backups. You wanted to see the starters. And for whatever reason, this whole season, we have been basically playing against the backups, the nobodies. And even though Mason Rudolph wasn't, awful today, he wasn't able to make plays there at the last drive. You know, by the way, there were 2 batted balls today, and they came on that last drive. Grady Jarrett got one, and then Brisker, the last play of the game. So, again, the great quarterbacks, they have a sixth sense, and they can anticipate those kind of situations. But you're exactly right. We have not played any. And think about this, folks. Jackson Dart was out playing, our quarterback when he suffered the concussion. And then once Russell Wilson came into the game, it was over. So we'll find out if we can, stack up against the starters, OB.
Yeah, well, Jimmy, one of the things that's jumps out at you or jumps out at me is the fact that the Bears, we won this game, but we rushed for 99 yards, and we passed for a total of 229 yards, and we won a game against a backup quarterback who hardly ever gets to play, period. And a backup is a backup. That's exactly what it is. But I'll tell you, but that's the way that this season has gone. You talk about the luck of the draw, the bounce of the ball, the call of the refs. It's unbelievable the way things are going for us, and we're going to need all of that and more come this Sunday in Philadelphia.
Well, Friday.
All of that and more.
Well, talking about the calls of the officials, what about that one on the punt return? That flipped so many fortunes of the game. But the other part of this is, and 99 yards, 220 or whatever.
Well, you're saying,
well, that's not – Dan, it's not that bad. Well, guess what, folks? That was the worst pass defense in the NFL. That was the worst one.
Ranked 32nd.
And they're 28th in total defense. If you're ever going to go bust it open and get 400, 450 yards or something, that's when you do it. We didn't do it. We were just scraping by as – I think it's almost – it's almost like – we have a scenario that we don't want to push the envelope and really excel. It's like we're trying to play down to the opponent at times, and that's maddening.
Jimmy, thanks for the call. Let's go to John, 312-981-7200. John, you are up with Hamp and OB on WGN.
Hi, guys. This is Chicago Johnny in Las Vegas again. My biggest flub play of the game, 1:36 in the fourth quarter. We get the ball, 3rd and 9, and Caleb Williams is running, and he passes the ball instead of falling down, and the clock will still be running, and that means that Pittsburgh will have to use their last timeout. What do you think, OB? Should he have fell down and keep the clock running? What do you think he should have done?
Well, you put me on the spot there, John. I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't, one way or another. But the problem, I don't think it ever should have came down to anything like this. This game should have been put away in the first quarter. in my opinion. This is not a good football team. It's a backup, even though they're 6-4 with a record, but they come with a backup quarterback, and we're playing at home, and we're the ones that are on the roll, and I didn't see a lot of I didn't see a lot of good things. We rushed for 99 yards and passed for 239, and we won a game.
Johnny, your point is dead on. And see, that was the kind of stupid things that we did under Eberflus when he was here for 2.5 years. You know, we wouldn't run out of bounds when we needed to stop the clock. When we wanted the clock to run, our guys would run out of bounds. And right there, what you're talking about is if he just takes a seat, and we're going to have to punt anyway, it's going to be fourth down. But throwing the ball stopped the clock and saved 35 seconds that Pittsburgh didn't have to use a timeout.
Now, do you blame the quarterback or do you blame the coach that called the play in?
Well, it's a combination of both. When the play comes in, the quarterback has to say to himself, I don't throw it unless I know it's a completion to keep the clock running. And when he's running out there, you know, kind of running for his life, TJ Watt's chasing him, the chances of him completing that are what, 3%? That's what you set down. You just say, hey, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to be judicious about how I'm going to operate. And then I'm going to let the clock keep running. And then if Pittsburgh burns their last time out, that's great. And by the way, how lucky were the Bears that Pittsburgh had an injury that burnt their last timeout?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's just, hey, the Chicago Pope's paying off, folks.
John, thanks for the call. Let's squeeze in one. We got about a minute here. Let's go to Rick real quickly with Happen OB. Rick?
Yeah, hey, guys. You know, you're both champions. You guys have won the big Kabamba. But your first years on those teams were not spectacular years. Those were building years. Those were learning to win years. Those were learning what kind of talent you had. That was coaches learning. Don't you think that that's what the Bears are doing this year? Everybody's talking like they're supposed to be a championship team. They're not. They're rebuilding. They're learning, coaches, players alike. What do you think?
Well, your perspective is dead on. And yeah. I'll be the first one to tell you, you know, we won it all that one year, even though for 5 years we won more games than any team in NFL history up until that point. But there were losses. There were stupid, you know, moves that cost us football games. But the perspective that we have and will always maintain here is, what is the objective, OB, just to be able to make the playoffs?
No, except you being a world champion. That's
there
it.
You go.
There's nothing else matters. That's the only thing, period.
And you're exactly, you know, correct, and kind of get on us a little bit about being maybe a little overly critical, but if they don't learn now, they're never going to.
All right. Thanks, Rick, for the call. Time for Who Brought It Today, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. What about
the cardiac play? Yeah. You know, that was, folks, interceptions, big deal. Turnovers, we've lived off of them all year. But, OB, when a quarterback throws his first pass and it's interception, you know and I know, it changes the way the quarterback approaches the rest of the game. There's always going to be a little hitch in his you know, get along because he's thinking, oh, I don't want another pick. It was a great play. And I gotta tell you, you know, Nashon, we gave him Who Brought It Today. He not only made that spectacular play, made some real nice plays at the line of scrimmage. He had 7 tackles, but not only he, but Nick McCloud. Nick McCloud and Nashon Wright were the two corners throughout this game, and they held up. And if you look at your depth chart, when we started this season, they were like number 5 and 6, or maybe 6 and 7. But today, they not only played, they played well.
This is my statement of the day. Okay?
Wait.
It's coming up. This is it. Da, 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 da. Anyways, okay. The Bears, where we are right now, in first place in our division, and with a kind of substantial winning record, okay? Congratulations. But we are in a position to really make a statement these next 2 weeks coming up. these next two Sundays. We go to Philadelphia, we play there, and then after Philly, we go to Green Bay. And that will tell all of us exactly who the Chicago Bears are, win, lose, or draw. And I think, and I kind of like what I saw today, we're weathering the storms. You know, in the first quarter, second quarter, third, somehow we're weathering the storms and we're winding up to have more points than our opponents. Okay? But again, let me say it again. We're in a position now to really make a statement at Philadelphia and at Green Bay and to tell the nation and especially our people back home just exactly who we are. We are the leaders of the North. And we are champions, and we're going to win the Super Bowl. These next two games will tell us. We're finally going to play some quality teams. No injuries, no this, no that. We're going up, and we're playing them in their home field. And, boy, if we could come away with two victories, I'll tell you what. This could be going into the last few games. You talk about an exciting year. But this, again, and I don't mean to talk in circles here, but these next 2 weeks, us playing away with two teams, they're going to tell us exactly who the hell we are.
Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. By the way, Hamp, Philly out to a 14-0 lead in the second quarter against Dallas. They look to go 9-2 as the Bears come into town.
Yeah, it kind of plays in our favor. You know, we don't want them losing.
Right. That was my point. Hurt. I think this is such a, folks, you listeners, this is such a great challenge for this team and the skeptics of this team, which sometimes I am and sometimes I am not. Okay? We're winning football games with only a few seconds to go, some with no time left on the clock. You know, there hasn't really been a bunch of convincing victories. Okay, but now you talk about a setup for must-see television and must-see football games. It's the Bears at Philly, and then to follow up, the Bears at Green Bay. I love it.
So remember, folks, that game is on Black Friday. It's this coming Friday, and it's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's the only game of the day in the NFL, and we will be on at 1 o'clock. So make sure you put us in your plans.
And we're the only station to be listening. People tune in.
You know, that whole the way this is all kind of unfolding, and obviously nothing breeds confidence like wins. And thus far, 8-3, that is, you know, something special. And at some point, you got to start thinking, all right, if we want to become one of the best teams in football, we've got to start doing things the right way. Now, what are you motioning for over there?
Nothing. Nothing.
But I was just going to say, you know, today, Caleb, and it was a good day for him. Not a great day, a good day. You know, 19 completions and 35 attempts. That means there were 16 incompletions. And of those 16, I would think half of them were really poorly thrown balls where we kind of looked at each other and said, what was he doing? What's he thinking? So if we can get him to kind of get a two-click better ability to deliver the ball properly, this is all doable.
All right, we'll talk more about that when we come back. Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. 312-981-7200. More of your calls coming up. Again, Blackhawks hockey, 5:30. Hawks and Avalanche from the United Center. This is 720 WGN. The Bears win 31-28. Hampton OB, sponsored by local Chevy dealers, and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Dave Ennett sitting alongside the guys today. Let's go back to the phones. 312-981-7200. Pete, you're next up with Hampton OB.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was just curious as if you're noticing the same thing I am, that, you know, this is supposed to be a team game. And we don't notice that it's totally a team game with this team anymore.
In what way?
Well, what I'm saying is, it's like the offense is one team, the defense is another team, and we have no camaraderie there.
I beg to differ, and I will tell you this. You don't win 8 out of 9 games by being a house divided. The one thing
being confrontational. No.
Well, I got to tell you.
I think that's what you.
I don't see it that way. I don't. And OB, here's the thing. Think about this. The offensive line has really come together, and they've been, I don't want to say remarkable, but they've been damn good. Think about this. The Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the top sacking teams in football. Their defensive pass defense is awful. They were the last in the, but they got after the quarterback. Today, that one sack strip by J.J. Watt, other than that, they really did virtually nothing. And the offensive line, despite the fact we're playing with a rookie left tackle starting his very first game, they were, you know, very good today. And we're playing with, and I just mentioned it, our two backup corners. And you have to start thinking, and all those linebackers, none of those linebackers were figured in. Back in September, forget about July, but in September, all these guys, nobody thought for a minute that Jackson and Hippolyte and these guys would have to be not only available, but involved and be a part of a 65-play football game. And yet, they've been able to overcome the injuries. And your old saying, OB, next man up, they have not only done that, but they're doing it in a winning fashion. They're winning games. I don't care who, you know, we've beat a bunch of bad teams. Think about this. That same Giant team that we've scoffed at, they brought Detroit to overtime today. Detroit got out of the trap by the skin of their teeth. And at some point, you got, and that was with Jameis Winston at quarterback, their third string quarterback. So I'm just saying, any given Sunday, any NFL team can beat you if you don't play together. This team, that's one of the things I commend them for. They are playing together.
Pete, quickly here. These next 2 weeks, these next two Sundays, they will tell you exactly who we are. Running, passing, and coaching. They will tell you who we are.
You know, one of the things, and again, we're not being overly critical, Mr. Cat, but at some point, you know and I know, OB, that Caleb Williams, he wants to be Mr. Ice or the Iceman or whatever they're calling him. He wants that.
No, that's laughable.
Well, but he...
That's laughable.
Well, that's the team giving him a nickname, and that's the way it goes. But my point is that they believe in him, and they think he's the guy. And to me, that is awesome because, you know, I played with all kinds of different quarterbacks, and I would have loved to had one guy play every down of every game and everybody around him believe in him. And he hasn't been as accurate as we want. He made another, you know, mistake today by throwing that ball on third down instead of just getting down and burning the clock. All that's being said, those guys lining up on offense with him, they have total confidence in him. So maybe this, you know, we'll see how high the sky is the limit. We'll see. And your point about the next 2 weeks, we're going to find out.
That'll tell you exactly who the hell they are. Period.
There you go. Thanks for the call. Let's go to the next one, 312-981-7200. Steve, you're up next with Hamp and OB.
Hey, guys, I've been listening a long time.
Thank you.
I'm a seventh grade teacher, and I humbly have to think I'm a little smarter than you guys about football, if I may. For weeks, you guys have been saying, all right, wait till next week. The Bears are going to play a real opponent next week. And look what happens. We keep winning. Are you going to say that all the way to the Super Bowl? Wait till the Super Bowl. Then the Bears will get exposed. You know, we're excited, man. This team's on a roll. And we're excited. We haven't had many winning teams lately in this city. So So I enjoy this role, and I know we got some flaws, but it's fun.
Well, we've said that also, Steve. What are you talking about? You know, I mean, when you look at the people we played, this is the first team we beat, and we're almost getting three-quarters of a season or close to it, two-thirds of a season. That's the first team we beat with a winning record. I mean, come on. Sometimes things are what they are. Come on, Steve. I mean, they've played well. They've done some good things. There's no question about it. But if you don't think luck has been on their side and the schedule has been on us, come on, please.
Yeah, a couple of things about your comments, Steve. Look, and again, we're being a little bit overly critical because we played a long time, and we know that the smile of good fortune is not always going to be there. And so a lot of times you gotta be able to beat somebody. When have we beat somebody? I mean, physically beat them at the line of scrimmage, beat them, you know, at throwing deep balls and different things that you see the upper echelon football teams capable of doing. We've been scraping by, winning on last second block kicks or making a field last second. Today, it went down to 17 seconds left in the game before it was decided. So that is the reason why we're maybe viewed as being a little, you know, hypercritical. But the point being is, you shouldn't be in a position like that. That was the worst defense, the pass defense in the NFL. Why didn't you blow?
Rank 32nd, their pass defense.
Yeah. Why didn't we blow them out of the water? But we didn't. And all that kind of comes into this last second, find a way to win, ditch mentality that they've been so fortunate at. But I'll tell you this, sooner or later, as OB likes to say, up pops the devil, and we're not going to be in a position to pull it out of the fire because we've let somebody hang around way too long.
Yeah, Steve, just real quickly, Steve, and thanks for your call, is that we're going to see what we are the next 2 weeks. We truly are. We're playing away from home, every other thing, and that's going to tell us exactly who we are.
And if you look at it this way too, guys, when the Bears played Washington, remember that game early in the season? And Washington is a team that played in the NFC Championship game last year, and they were expected to be factors in the NFC
formidable
East this year,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Well, obviously, things haven't gone the way that they were projected to go for Washington, but at the time, that still felt like a significant win over a team that was supposed to be good. And sometimes stuff happens to the teams you're playing that you have no control over, so you haven't played a winning team, or they're not a winning team today, but at the time they had a winning record and they were expected to have a winning season.
The one thing about that, and again, it goes back to, you know, time and place. They are a 3-win team right now.
Right.
Are you saying they're good? No, you're not.
No.
You're saying, but at that moment in time, nobody had really kind of identified them and kind of exposed them to where now they've got 8 losses. At the time, I think they were
3-2, I think, or something like
that. Something.
We didn't know they were going to be 3-8, is
but
the point.
Part of the reason they're having a bad year is because we beat them.
Exactly.
And so it's chicken and the egg and all that.
Well, getting back to this situation here with the Bears, again, to our callers, these next 2 weeks are going to be exciting, very, very exciting. Must watch football because we're playing 2 teams that are pretty damn good football proven teams, okay? And we're going and playing them in their living room. We are. It's Philly in Green Bay. And Steve, this will tell you and hopefully tell Dan and I exactly who we are.
And they are Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. More with the guys, 312-981-7200 after the news. Well, that touchdown followed a call that really helped flip field position in favor of the Bears today. And that brings us to our Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships with locations in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. A punting situation, and Dan, it did not go well for the Pittsburgh Steelers at that moment.
No, this is after the very first drive of the second half. We were able to get Pittsburgh stopped. They were up around the 40-45, and they punted, and the punter really hit a good one, and they pinned us back at the 10-yard line. Wait a minute. Wait. There was a call. There was holding, offensive holding, and so we forced them to repunt. And who would have thunk the punter shanked it?
Yep.
The second time around, we took it at the 40-yard line. And we put together a five-play, 60-yard touchdown drive. Mm-hmm. And the real interesting part was this. DJ Moore caught a nice ball. And when he was out of bounds, you know, there was some grabbing and all this stuff. And he kind of flipped the ball at a Steeler. And they threw a flag and called him for unsportsmanlike conduct. And so it set us back 15 yards. And yet, two plays later, Caleb threw, I think, his second best pass of the day to a wide open DJ Moore for a touchdown. So that easily was, you know, and again, all these plays, one play can change everything. You just don't know when that play is going to happen, OB.
I understand it, Danny. And I'll tell you what, I want to jump forward to playing at Philadelphia. I think their record is, 8-2 now?
They are 8-2, and they are well on their way to 9-2, up 21-0.
Well, again, this team needs to show, in my opinion, that are we for real? Are we for real? And we will find out this coming Sunday, folks.
312-981-7200, Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Back to the phone lines we go with Cheryl. You're on with Happen OB on WGN.
Hey, first I have to say, amazing win for the Cats yesterday, Dave. I'm still riding a high from that one, too.
It was pretty wild.
Yeah, it was great. 500 yards of offense, sort of.
Yep.
Mr. Hampton, I have a bone to pick with you. Because you're talking about how it shouldn't come down to the last second and they shouldn't be in these situations. But last year and how many years before that would this team have not had the capacity to do what they've done? And it's to the credit of the coaching staff and the culture in that locker room that's giving this team the mental state to believe that they're in it until the very last second of the game. And if we remember the 2005 White Sox, I think every game was winning ugly, winning ugly. They still won the World Series, didn't they? So in the NFL, does it matter how you win? It's hard to win games. And who's really dominating this year? Except for what the Eagles you just said right now, 9-2. But even the Chiefs?
Thank you, Cheryl.
Chiefs are struggling every week. So, come on. Let's enjoy what we got. 8-3?
Is great. And hey, Cheryl, some of your points are dead on. And you're right. They are finding ways to win and persevere and snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. But again, all those wins came against less than the best competition. And unfortunately, in the NFL, what goes around comes around. Now we have a series of very big, big-time games against vastly superior competition. Now, if we're just scraping by, barely winning here and there against these also-rans, then how does that project? You want to be in a position where you control your destiny and not hope that maybe they miss a field goal or shank a punt and, you know, change the flow of the game. So all that being said, we are ecstatic. The Bears are 8-3. Trust me, last year, what was it, a 10-game losing streak? And every week we'd be on here sick at our stomach about how pathetic we were. Yes, we love the fact that we're winning, but at what cost? We want to know.
And how are we winning? We're winning on miracle plays with no time left on the clock. Come on, Cheryl.
Yeah, and then the play to Colston Loveland in Cincinnati. how with no time left and the tacklers kind of spin off of him and he runs for a touchdown with just mere seconds left. You could not sit down and type that out into a script and sell it in Hollywood. They'd laugh you out of town. They'd say, oh yeah, like that's going to happen. It has been a bizarre yet crazy season. That being said, OB's point, we're going to find out the next 2 weeks, and let's hope we are able to elevate ourselves to be able to, you know, go to war with the defending Super Bowl champs.
Gerald, and to our listeners, folks, we tell you what we watch and what we see, and we interpret it. Dan does. I played on a world championship team. Dan has played on a world championship team. We know how to win. We know what it takes mentally and physically. Okay? And from what we've seen so far, where does all the words and everything fall in? We've been a damn lucky football team. Real lucky. My God, just look at the teams we played and their records. Okay? But now what's happening, folks, we're going to come up, and like I said two or three times already, and it's worth repeating, the next 2 weeks, we're going to see exactly who we are. And are we the winners that we think we are? We'll see.
Just remember, when the Bears play on Friday, it will be 1 year and 1 day after the Bears blew a chance to win on Thanksgiving Day in Detroit. So a day that I think we'd all like to forget. So, I mean, right. I think how far...
And Eberflus was fired because of his ineptitude
right.
of managing the clock and other things.
And winning close games, just like Cheryl's talking about.
We tell you what we see. We won. Oh, they won. Everything's wonderful. Everything's this. Everything's that. Folks, it's really not that way. My God.
Happen OV is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner in the Chicago Bears, with you up until the 5 o'clock hour. And we'll get to a couple more calls here coming up at 312-981-7200. Caleb Williams, after the Bears 31-28 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers today at Soldier Field. Hampton OB sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. At the moment, Next Gen Stats has the Bears playoff probability at 65%. Now, you would have certainly taken that back in September if someone told you in November, you get to Thanksgiving.
At 0-2.
At 0-2, especially. I think their playoff probabilities then were in negative territory.
Hey, let them prove who they are. Okay?
Well, they will. Yeah.
Okay? And, you know, sometimes things are what they are. They've had the luck of the schedule. My God, it's been unbelievable. But we've won the game, even though it was last second wins and this and every other thing you can think of that's happened. But we're 8-3. But again, next 2 weeks, folks, and this is, Dan, if I'm one of the 53 players and I'm out on that field, this is a challenge that I would want to meet, and I know you would too.
Oh, you know what?
You want to play the best, and you're going to play the best in their yard, and if you take them down, man, it's beyond kudos to you guys and to the coaches and to the owners of the Bears. I'll tell you what. You know, stranger things have happened, Dan.
Well, and we had a call earlier saying, you know, hey, look, you guys were on teams that weren't really good and you had to kind of learn how to win and all those different things that people talk about. But at the very least, we always relished the opportunity to play the good teams. And sometimes it didn't work out. And then sometimes it did. I'll never forget. We played Dan Fouts and the Chargers. They had this, you know, amazing offense right here in Soldierville. And I think it was a Monday Night Football game. And we beat them. And, you know, Fouts and those guys were incredulous. They couldn't believe we upstart little team, the Bears. We found a way to win. And those are the things that, you know, you always remember. And this is an opportunity for this team. By the way, we just heard from Caleb. I love the fact he's saying we got to get better. You know, he keeps saying that, which is good, which means he knows it hasn't been perfect. But at the very least, this kid has started and finished all 28 games that he has been slated for. That is amazing. And he didn't throw another interception.
That's right. That's
I mean, right. The kid's doing some really good things.
All right, 312-981-7200. We're up against the clock here, but let's quickly go to Matthew. He's been holding. Matthew, you're on with Hamp and OB.
Hey, Hamp, OB. This is Matthew. They broke it off to Matt Chu, and they call me Chu. Called you a couple weeks ago about the defensive line. I'm calling you about it again. According to Mike Talley, the defensive line had 8 tackles today with all the plays that the Steelers ran. Is today's NFL set up to where linebackers and DBs and stuff are supposed to make the majority of tackles, or at least a lot more than 8 from the defensive line? Because those backup linebackers played phenomenal today. Even the backup DBs did, and even the starters. D-line, 8 tackles total. Is that considered the norm these days? I'm going to hang up and listen to your thought.
Hey, Chu, you know what? I wrote this down when we walked in here. Hey, kudos to the guys on defense, the backups that really excelled today and held on and gave us an opportunity to win. Okay, Montez Sweat, he had 2 sacks, and both those sacks, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a tight end blocking him. In other words, they thought a tight end could handle him. That tells you what the opponents think of our defensive line. They were doubling down inside. Nobody really did anything. And you're exactly right. Why do you, Kat, what do you think the IR has got all these defensive backs and linebackers on it? Because they're having to make every damn play.
Yeah.
You know, the defensive line getting walled off, getting it, and then the backs are hitting them at 100 miles an hour, and it's just a matter of time till they break down. It's just, it's not good enough, OB.
Well, Danny, we have a couple of people that I call them I-men, the guys that play actually are defensive tackles, I-men, inside guys. I'll tell you what, some of them, I can't even believe they're playing in the National Football League that are on our team. They can't move. Look at them when they play. The snap of the ball, our 2 inside guys, they stand straight up in the air and they hand fight. You're going nowhere doing that. And they're not nifty enough. They're not quick enough. And they don't have the speed to make it around an offensive center, an offensive guard, or a tackle. If you don't, just look at them every play, folks. Believe what the hell I'm telling you. These guys, we need better people inside to make more plays and make things happen. Our defensive line really doesn't make a lot of things happen. We have to blitz and come with a whole bunch of other stuff to get it done.
2 of the signature players that we're going to have to deal with this week when we play the Eagles, they're 2 inside defensive tackles. They're the best tandem in football. They will give you a lot of trouble. If only we could get somewhat of that kind of, you know, intensity.
We don't have it, Dan.
No, it's bad.
I'm telling you, we don't have it.
It's bad.
Philly is up halftime 21-7 on Dallas. The other late scores, Atlanta, a 13-7 lead in New Orleans. They're just about at halftime in that one. The other halftime scores, Cleveland over Vegas, 14-3. Arizona leading Jacksonville. That game now in the third quarter, 14-10 from earlier, in case you missed it. Will the Bears hold serve of the NFC North, because the 2 teams right behind them both won. Green Bay, 23-6 over last place Minnesota, and Detroit in overtime, and a long touchdown run by Jahmyr Gibbs beat the Giants 34-27 in OT. Seattle beat Tennessee 30-24. The Patriots over the Bengals 26-20. And in overtime, the Chiefs beat the Colts 23-20, and Baltimore beat the Jets in regulation 23-10. Great hanging with you guys this afternoon. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for letting me sit in and watch the game with you. I enjoyed it.
Hey, Kat, anytime, we'd love to have you, and we didn't throw you through a window, so you made it home.
No, I feel like I'm going to get out of
David,
here one piece.
You've been great, but quickly to the fans out there, this is going to be exciting, folks, these next 2 weeks. This is, as far as Dan's concerned and I'm concerned, This is what you want to see. Where we're at, 8-3, you know, and now we're really going to see who we are in the next 2 weeks. I can't wait till this coming Sunday comes.
And Friday, hopefully, Friday.
Excuse me. That's right. Black Friday. This coming Friday, tune in to us. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a victory over the mighty Philadelphia Eagles.
Guys, happy Thanksgiving to you both.
Right, and to you, and everybody.
And to all the listeners, is correct.